simple lesson tonight, and maybe it's a lesson to the choir. You may already know all of these things, but I think it's good to remind ourselves from time to time. So we're going to start in Deuteronomy 6. The lesson is called Why Study the Bible, or we could call it Benefits of Bible Study. What are some benefits? But we'll begin in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And initially I had one Bible text to read, then I thought about it for a while, and then the Lord said, well, put this one on there too. So I added a second one, then a little bit later I added a third one. And then when I got here, I added another one. Somewhere in between here, we're going to look at another one. And really, if we were to ask ourselves, why study the Bible? Well, there's lots of reasons we could think of. But what I want us to see tonight is what the Bible says about why we should study the Bible. And I think that'll be helpful. So so let's read these passages. I'll say some more introductory remarks here in a second, but let's read these. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 5. This is somewhat of a familiar passage, and sometimes it's used to support homeschooling, and sometimes it's just used to just simply teaching the Word of God to your children, especially, but others too. But there are some parts in this passage that would indicate maybe we should know the Bible. The only way we can know the Bible is to study the Bible. So let's begin in reading in verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, the words of God, amen, these words which I command thee this day shall be, where? In thine heart. Sam, just turn me down just a tad. It's a little bit loud up here anyway. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So if these words, the Word of God, is going to be in your heart, you're going to have to study it. You're going to have to read it and study it. If you're going to teach it to your children and or others, you're going to have to read it. You're going to have to know it. You're going to have to study it. Then he says in verse... where am I at here? Verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And so we see a bit of the importance of the Word of God there. Now let's go to the next reference, which is Romans 15. So way over now to the New Testament. By the way, preacher, if you're watching, I think I broke the copy machine. I did, obviously, you know, wasn't negligent. I was being careful. And but there's a part that came off, and that's not a good sign, right? So I hope you're laughing a little bit. Oh, boy. All right, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So we see the importance of the Scripture there. It's important. The Scripture is important, but not just to own a copy, right? We should own it, but then read it and study it. And so it's easy to say, well, you know, this was written to Pastor Timothy. Well, yes, but the Bible says that all Scripture is profitable, and we need to be able to learn from it all. And I don't think that we should never read Timothy if we're not a pastor. Say, well, I'm not a pastor, so I don't need to read Timothy. Well, it's still good for us. Still has application. It still has principles that we need to learn. So verse 15, of course, then, there's that word, study. Now, that's not a dirty word, is it? It's not a bad word. You know, as soon as I said study, I saw some of you went like this. No, we'd have to study. He says, study, why? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman, notice the W-O-R-K there, don't do that again, work, another bad word, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so those are three passages that will kind of kick us off in our study here. So let's see, I think I've prayed already, so we'll go ahead and get right into it. You know, having been saved for just coming up on 40 years here pretty soon, I've read the Bible a lot of times. That's not pat on the back, but what I'm about to say is just is a contrast. Though I've read the Bible so many times, in recent days, months, God has pressed me to ratchet up my reading and study. And the only reason I can think of why that would be is just look around. Right. Just look around what in the world is going on in this world. And Satan seems to have ratcheted up his game, so why shouldn't we take it to the next level, right? And so you may have picked up on it when my opening prayer a while ago, I said, Lord, help us to understand the urgency of getting in the Scripture. More than ever, we need to be in the Bible. More than ever, we need to read the Bible. Are you listening now? Read the Bible. And not just read it, but study it. Study the Bible. You say, well, I'm not a preacher or a teacher or an evangelist or a missionary. No, you need to study the Bible for yourself. And I think we can support that from Scripture. I think in just this verse we just read, study to show thyself approved. And so we need to study the Bible. We're going to see some what the Bible says about that here in a moment. Let's do our intro remark here. Our gracious Father gave mankind His Word and miraculously preserved it for us so that we may know Him. In other words, in the Bible, God has revealed the mind of God. The Bible tells us in Philippians, I think it is, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, this is His mind. And so to know the mind of God, we have to get into it and study it, read it and study it. Notice I'll keep differentiating the two. Sometimes we interchange them, but casual reading is one thing. In-depth study is another thing, but we need to do both. And so He's preserved it for us, and one of the reasons for that is so that we may know Him. Now, Bible study is not for lazy people. Again, one of the words we saw in Timothy here was a workman. It takes work. It's hard work, but it can be very enjoyable. Believe it or not, it's very enjoyable. If you approach the Bible, this is God's love letter to me. I remember hearing, a story, I don't know who did it or who said it or whatever, but I've heard a lot of preachers say it, but someone said, they took their Bible in the front fly page, they put Dear Kelly, whatever their name was, Dear so-and-so. And then way back in the empty page in the back, they put Love Jesus. So like it was a love letter, Dear so-and-so, and then all the material, all the content of the Bible, and then the end, Love Jesus. And we ought to approach the Bible that way. This is God's love letter to us. And we ought to be interested in it. You know, back when you were dating your sweetie pie and you got a letter in the mail or a letter, they handed you a letter or sent the letter or whatever or gave it to someone else to give you. Boy, you got that letter. Boy, you were just excited to read that letter and you put it away. And about an hour later, you got it back out again. Oh, I want to read it again. And you'd read it again and you'd drool all over it and so forth. And you were, you were in love, right? And so, and that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. But we ought to approach the Bible that way. This is a letter from God Almighty. It's a letter from Jesus. And we ought to love what He has to say to us and read it over and over and over again. Now, with that in mind, let's look at Proverbs 2, because in reading Scripture, I think Preacher actually used this passage recently, but we'll hit it again. Proverbs 2. Yes, he did have this recently, and maybe a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, I don't know what. But we ought to dig into the Bible like for treasure. And notice the verbs that are used in this passage here. Now, he's talking about wisdom, but guess what the Bible is? It's full of wisdom. It's the source of wisdom. There are three sources of wisdom. The Bible is a source of wisdom. Soul winning is a source of wisdom. He that winneth souls is wise. And then other wise people is a source of wisdom. So those are three sources of wisdom. So let's read verse 1 and downward a little bit here. My son, if thou wilt receive, there's your first verb, you might mark these. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments, so hide commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine heart unto ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. That's the verse I like. Getting in the Bible, seeking and searching, trying to dig out the truths that God has for you there. Digging out the little silver nuggets, the gold nuggets. And boy, when you find one, when God shows you something from Scripture, it's exciting. And it's just like someone who found a, you know, digging in the dirt and they found a gold nugget. Woo! Oh, man, they're really excited about that. We should be excited, no less excited, when we learn from Scripture. Verse 5, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so we ought to not be lazy, but we ought to work. And we ought to get into the Bible and study and try to understand what it has for us. Well, let's look at some reasons why, or not reasons, excuses, I should say. Excuses why many do not engage in Bible study. The first one would be, I don't have time. Now, that's really a lame excuse. We make time for things that are important to us. So we really can't use that one. I mean, we all have the same 168 hours in a week, and it's an excuse. It's not a reason. It is an excuse. And if you want an excuse for something, the devil will be sure to give you one. And we can't really use that. But that some people say that I don't have time, but there are ways to carve out and make time. And again, the very fact I've got this Bible, I think I told this to Cole and Preacher. This is a new Bible to me. Not an expensive one, but you probably saw the red one that I normally carry, and it's a more expensive one. It's a really nice one. But I wanted to have God's Word with me, not just on my phone, but with me in the truck that I drive daily. Since God was pressing me to read the Bible more, I said, I need to have the Bible with me. I don't want to take my good, nice red Bible, because I'm afraid get grease or oil or I could spill something on it or accidentally tear a page, whatever. So I'm going to get another Bible that I can take in the truck. So this is my truck Bible. Thing is, I've been liking it so much. I've been carrying it ever since I got it. Not just in the truck, but I've been bringing it to church. I really like it. It's a nice little Bible. And it's got larger print than my other Bible too. Imagine that. I forget what I was going to tell you about this, But so I'm taking the Bible with me because, let me see. Oh, yeah, have time. When I'm on a dock, back up to a dock to get loaded or something, it usually takes 30 to 45 minutes. I'm not going to go scrolling on my internet. I get my Bible out. Amen. Or for you, maybe waiting in the doctor's office. Don't pick up one of their junky magazines. Get your Testament out of your purse or your back pocket or whatever. Carry something with you and read the Bible. And there's so many times that we could read the Bible, we just don't think of it. So we have to be more conscious about that. When could I read the Bible? In addition to our morning time, but throughout the day, are there other times I could squeeze a little here and a little there and get more Bible into you? Trust me, you're going to be wanting to do that. The day may come, listen, and it may not be too far away, that we don't have it anymore. The way this world's going, Christians are on the hit list. And they'll take the Bibles, and they'll close the churches, and who knows what they'll do to us. So get in your Bible. That's why God's pressing me about it. Get in your Bible, read it more, study it. don't mean to scare you, but we have to be realistic about some of these things. Number two, so some say, I don't have time. Others say, I don't know how. Don't know how. Now, unfortunately, and maybe we can do this on another lesson if I get the opportunity, unfortunately, we're not going to get into the how, too, in this lesson. We're just going to talk about the benefits. And I might mention one just in passing at the end, but so how, don't know how. Next, I don't know Greek and Hebrew. Well, that's not an excuse. We don't need to have the Greek and Hebrew. God gave us an English Bible. Now, there is a place for it, and we'll explain that sometime, but that's another excuse people will use. And then this one, if I ever hear someone say this, I'm thinking I did have someone say this once. This is a bad one. It's not very exciting. Are you serious? Are you serious? This is God's book to you. This is God's love letter to you, and it's not very exciting. Let's go back to your sweetie pie sending you that letter. You say, oh, that's not very exciting. She'd be like, get lost. Like, oh, well, so much for that relationship. It's all over. It's not very exciting. Oh, my. Help us, Lord. So those are some things that people, those are actual statements that people would make. And so let's get into the benefits here. I need to keep it moving. I didn't time this, so I don't know. Hopefully we'll get done on time. Number one, Bible study is essential. And this is according to the Bible. Now, if we just start saying, what do you think Bible, why should we study the Bible? What's good? What's it good for? Each of us could have a different answer, and they'd all be right, probably. But these are the reasons the Bible says we should do it. So number one, it's essential to growth. Growth. And you see the reference there? Go ahead and turn there after you write that word down. We talk a lot about growth in different lessons and Bible studies and preaching times. We talk about that a lot. We should be growing. That goes without saying. We ought to be growing as a Christian. But let's look at these verses that the Bible tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2. As newborn babes, notice this verb here, desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? That ye may what? Grow thereby. And if ye tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so the Bible tells us itself. The Bible is telling us, here's a benefit of reading and studying the Bible, that you will grow thereby. Let's look at three words that help us to get the idea of what Peter's trying to tell us here. So three words. Number one, attitude. Attitude. See, I got my own notes here. I'm looking at the study sheet. I've got your sheet here, and I got my own notes over here. I'm doing pretty good off your notes. Attitude. And really, the next thing is what I wanted to say next. Just as a baby, because this is the word that Peter used, he says, as newborn babes. So, just as a baby grabs for the bottle, so you should grab for the Bible. Now, if you've had little babies, you already have this in your, you can already see it in your mind. And listen, when that baby gets hungry, you better get that bottle ready. I mean, I never heard such wailing and screaming that Caleb used to do. Until finally, oh, get that bottle. Hurry, warm it up, oh, hurry. You know, pop in the mouth. And and boy, they go to town that, you know, I've never seen such quick action, sucking action. And when the bottle gets there, all is calm. It's like the Lord said, peace be still. And so, but that's so true, isn't it? Those babies, they want that bottle, and they want it now. And they're grabbing for it. If they see it coming, they're like reaching out for it before it gets there. And so as a baby, this is the word picture that Peter's giving us here when he says, as newborn babes, just like a little baby grabs for and wants and cries and screams for that milk till it gets it, So we as believers should cry and scream and kick and beg and grab for the Bible. Do you see that? Do you see the word picture there? That's the correlation he's making to us here. The baby has to have the bottle to grow physically, and you have to have the scriptures to grow spiritually. And so true. That baby is going to only grow by being fed. It needs that nourishing milk. And we as baby Christians, when we were babies, well, even now we will continue to grow, but when we're newly born, we need the milk. Later we'll talk about meat, but we need scripture to grow. And that's what Peter's telling us right here in this verse. Just like that little baby grabs for the milk, we should grab for the Bible. The next word that will help us to understand us here is appetite. Appetite. We should have an appetite for the Bible. You should long for it. This is your blanks there. You should long for it. You're to crave the spiritual milk of God's Word. And again, that's picturesque of what we were just saying a moment ago about the baby wanting that milk, grabbing for it, reaching for it, crying for it. And when that's happening, you'd be better not ignore it. You've got to go and get the bottle warmed up and get it ready and get it ready to give it to that little baby. And as I said, once the milk arrives, all is calm. And so it is when our spiritual lives can get topsy-turvy, but when the scripture arrives, like when the bottle arrives, the scripture arrives, all is calm, or can be calm, because of the scripture. When we think of appetite, the Bible says in Psalm 19:10 that the scripture is sweeter than honey. But you wouldn't know that by judging the way some believers approach the Bible. Really, it could be different types of Bible students. To some, it's the nasty medicine Bible student. To them, the word is bitter, and they yuck, want to spit it out. But it's good for what ails them, right? Then there's the shredded wheat Bible students. To them, the scripture is nourishing but dry. Have you ever eaten a shredded wheat, just plain, no milk? It's pretty dry. It's like eating hay. Another type of Bible students would be the strawberries and cream folks. And they just can't wait to get into it. They just can't get enough. And so I hope that we could be the strawberry and cream Bible students, that we approach the Bible, that, boy, it's sweet. And I just can't get enough. And I want to keep coming back for more. That's the Bible students that we ought to be. And again, I can't emphasize it enough, especially in the day and age in which we live. We need the Bible more than ever. The third word that might help us understand what Peter's telling us here is aim. So attitude, appetite, and then aim. What is the aim of the scripture? Well, our next statement tells us here, the Bible was not written to satisfy your curiosity, but to conform you to the image of Christ. That's the aim of the Scripture. Now, here it's telling us that we will grow by learning Scripture, by reading and studying Scripture, we'll grow. That's going to be a natural result. But growing, of course, the whole purpose for a little baby to grow is to become an adult. The whole purpose for the young Christian to grow is to become mature and likened unto the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that's the aim of Scripture, is to get us to grow and then to conform us to the image of our Savior. Next one, it's not to fill your head with a collection of biblical facts, but to transform your life. So it's about transformation. Let's look at verse 2 one more time before we go to the second point, because I want you to get it. And picture, get the word picture here, word picture, as newborn babes. Boy, you should underline that word, desire. Desire. The sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. That word desire is so important. You know, when you really desire something, you figure out a way to get it. Lots of examples we could give. I don't want to get sidetracked on that. But boy, if we desire something, we'll figure it out. We'll get it. We'll figure out a way to save, to buy it, or you know, whatever it takes. We'll figure out a way if we desire it. And boy, we should desire that same word. We should desire God's spiritual milk, and we will grow. All right, number two. So Bible study is essential to growth. Now, Bible study is essential to spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Now, you might be saying, well, wait a minute, aren't those one and the same? Well, not exactly. You know, I know a lot of people who drank the bottle, and they grew, because our first point was grow, right? So they grew, but guess what? They're not mature. They're still acting childish. See the difference? So we can grow, but we want to mature. And a little bit different there. So it's essential to spiritual maturity. All right, Hebrews 5 is our text. So here's another place that the Bible, we have a Bible reason or a Bible benefit. Again, we could think of our own benefits of studying a Bible study, but here's another place where the Scripture gives us some insight. So hope you're there by now. Hebrews 5, look at verse 11. This is an interesting passage. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Let's just stop a second. What the author is saying here is that there's a lot of things I'd like to say to you. It's kind of like Paul back I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, maybe it's 2 Corinthians. I think it's 1. He said, I would like to talk, there's a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you guys are carnal. I just can't tell you because you're carnal. It's almost what the author is saying here, the writer of Hebrews. He's saying, you know what, there's many things I'd like to say, but they're hard to utter. I can't really say it to you. And here's why. Seeing ye are dull of hearing. In other words, your ears are open, but you're not getting what I would say. You wouldn't be able to get and understand what it is I'm telling you. Well, let's read on. This gets worse. Verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of what? Milk and not of strong meat. Let's see how far we're reading here. Verse 14. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Well, this sheds more light back on 1 Peter, doesn't it? Or 2 Peter. No, 1 Peter. And then verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, maturity, even those who by reason of use, this is important too, by reason of use of the Scriptures, use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We'll come back to that in a second. So here's these believers that the writer here says, there's some things I would really love to say to you, but I just can't say them because you guys are dull of hearing. He says, the time... For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teacheth you again. And ye become such as one that needs milk and not strong meat. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Now, keep in mind, there's a time for milk, right? New lady has been riding the bus. Her name is Kim. She was here the last two Sundays. Brother Paul had the privilege of leading her to the Lord two or three weeks ago, and she's coming. And so on Sunday, I said to her, Kim, Would you be interested? I said, this would be important, but would you be interested in going through a discipleship program? It's just some basic lessons on basic Christian ideas and concepts that would be good for you to know. And, you know, and so she said yes. And so Kim has to have milk. And it would be foolish to try to, you know, just like a little newborn baby, you're not going to take a piece of T-bone steak and open its mouth and then cram the T-bone steak down in its mouth, and then what's it going to do? It's going to be choking. Then you got to do the high neck remover. I know it's Heimlich, but I always call it the high neck remover. And no, you don't give a baby strong meat. They need the milk. So there's a time for milk. But I keep wanting to say Paul. Do you mind if I say Paul? Paul tells us here, I believe Paul wrote this, tells us that, look, well, let me give you the points because it's self-explanatory. Let's get our first thing here. These believers had a learning disability. What was that? They were dull of hearing. And here comes the part I was about to say. Letter B. The key word found in verse 12 is time. Time. So let's look at that again, back at verse 12. Ready? For when for the time, what time? Time for what? He says, ye ought to be teachers. In other words, believer, you've been saved for X amount of years. Fill in the blank. More than one, probably. You've been saved 8, 10 years, 12 years. That's enough time to whereby you should be teaching the Word of God to others, but you're in need to be taught yourself. Be retaught, maybe. You need to have it taught. We need to go back and teach the principles and the first oracles of God to you. Now, something's not right here. So this is like the child who's growing physically. You know, they're growing from a little, you know, for a little toddler, they're growing, but they're not developing, maturing. And that happens with believers. They might grow a little bit, but they don't grow to the point of becoming mature whereby they could be teaching others. And so we see here then, let me give you the next point. The idea is that these believers have been saved for a long period of time and they should be teaching others, but they themselves are in need of teaching. So let's look at that again, verse 12. I want to make sure you see that. And the key word is time. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. You should be on meat, but you're still on milk. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Now, I wouldn't want that to be said about me. Unskillful in the word. And we become skillful by reading and by studying. We become skillful with the word. With the word, we become a good swordsman. Right? We become a good swordsman. Let me give you this next one here. The writer says that you are mature when you have trained yourself through constant use of Scripture in order to distinguish good from evil. So when you're mature, when you have trained yourself through constant use of Scripture in order to distinguish good and evil. And that's exactly what verse 14 tells us. Let's look at verse 14 again. You might put verse 14 next to that statement. It says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are, we could say, mature, of full of age. What's it say next? Even those who by reason of use, that's constant use of Scripture, reason of use, have their senses exercised or developed to discern both good and evil, or good from evil, but good and evil. So that's when we can tell we're coming upon maturity, because now we're able to know good and evil. We're able to know, distinguish good from bad. You know, a preacher said something like this recently. He said, when something comes up, or something's on the news, or someone tells you something, you ought to, in your brain, it ought to be, you ought to be able to say, that's not scripture what they just said. The Bible's against that. Or that's not biblical. We ought to be able to zero in on that. Now, we're not going to get everything. It depends on how long you've been saved, how much you've read, how much you've studied, and so forth, how much you've grown that way, or how mature you are. But I just said to my wife today, she said, well, what do you think about so-and-so? He claims to be conservative. I said, well, I'm not quite sure. He does say some really good things, but on the other hand, he's admitted that he's a Freemason. So then I said this, and this is what I wanted to say. I said, these days, I question everything. Right. I question everything. You don't know who's lying. Satan's the god of this world. He can have people say some really nice things that we as believers say, oh, wow, that's good stuff. But they're just saying it because they're on the evil side and they're just trying to deceive us. That's happening more and more, more and more. And so we need to be able to, only through Scripture, study of Scripture, boom. That's not right. Something not right about that, or that wasn't biblical, or that's not what the Bible says, or that is what the Bible says, or the Bible says this about that. We ought to be able to do that. The only way that's going to happen is to study, is to read and study. Amen? I hope you're seeing the importance of this. All right, that brings us to the final one. So we said Bible study is essential for, number one was what? Number one was what?
Growth.
What's number two?
Maturity.
And keep in mind now, those are different. You can grow, but not be mature. And Hebrews shows us that clearly. Number three, Bible study is essential to spiritual effectiveness. Spiritual effectiveness. And then you can see the passage we need to go to there, so please turn. This is a familiar place. 2 Timothy 3, 15 and 16, a very familiar place. 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that's that mature word again, throughly furnished unto all good works. Good works is an important phrase there at the end of that passage. Well, Paul tells us, your first statement there is, Paul tells us here that all Scripture is what? Profitable. Guess what? That includes Leviticus. That includes 2 Chronicles. That includes Zechariah. And all Scripture is profitable for us. And that's what Paul tells us here. Very important to understand that. But profitable for what? Well, let's look at four things here, and the Bible tells us what those four things are very clearly in verse 16. But number one, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, number one, doctrine. One of the benefits to Bible study is so that we can be spiritually effective. And so number one would be doctrine. Next statement is this. This is teaching that will structure your thinking. Doctrine is teaching. It's biblical teaching. And it's something that will help to structure how you think. Again, I think of that passage, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And we need to, it talks about being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the mind is the battlefield. And we need to have it structured to think like God thinks. And so doctrine will help us. It'll help restructure our thinking. Next. This is crucial because if you're not thinking correctly, you're not living correctly. Right? Because how you think, I think preacher said something like this recently too. How you think is how you're going to live. What goes in is what comes out. And so we have to allow doctrine, Bible doctrine, to teach us and help to restructure maybe our thinking so that we can then live according to that thinking. The second word that we see there in verse 16, so we saw doctrine. Next one is for reproof. Reproof. We might use the word rebuke, but the Bible word is reproof, same meaning. Reproof. And I just put this down for that. By this, the Bible will tell you when you are out of bounds. Out of bounds. You know, when you're playing basketball on a court and there's those black lines that go around the border of the rectangle court, a nice wide, about a 3-inch or so black line, and you go dribbling down the court, and if you happen to put your foot on that line, boy, the whistle's going to blow. Whoop, out of bounds. And they're going to call you, I stepped on the line. And the referee's going to let you know when you're out of bounds. And well, the Bible will tell us. It'll let us know. This is one of the good things about the Scripture. It helps us. It tells us when we are out of bounds. It'll reprove us, you might say. So that's the next word there. The third one is correction. Correction. All of us at home have the infamous junk drawer. How many have one? Yay! I'm not doing it. It's amazing how that thing keeps filling up. Then occasionally I'll decide, you know what, I'm going to clean that out. Oh, I clean it out, throw a bunch of stuff away. Ah, that's nice. That's better, nice and tidy. Now it's minimal. About a month later, it's all back. Stuff's all back there again. Where do I put this? I don't know. Put it here. Put it in the junk drawer. Where else? When there's nowhere to put it, that's where you put it. But worse is a junk closet. If you have not just a drawer, but a whole closet full of junk. But that's what I wanted to say here in this next one. The Bible opens the doors of your junk closet and provides a purifying effect to help you clean out sin and conform to God's will. That's what correction is. Have you ever read the Bible and just felt corrected? I hope so. Say, wow, Lord, that hurt. Ow. Read Scripture and God says, hey, what you just read, are you doing that? Hey, what you just read, are you going to start that? Or are you going to stop that? Or hey, what you just read, aren't you guilty of that? Didn't you just do what the Bible, I'm saying not to do in the Bible? You just did it the other day? Oh, Lord.